Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Elaine B., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Massachusetts. Today is Wednesday, April 24th, 2019. Today we're reading from the Big Book. We're in the chapter, There's a Solution, and we're on page 22, reading and commenting on the third paragraph, which begins with, Perhaps there will never be a full answer. Today's readers are Marissa E. for the 12 Steps, Athena B. for the 12 Traditions, Penny L. C., Robin P., and Pia S. And today, Janice P.M. will be our newcomer greeter, and Reggie O. has some announcements for us. The reference number for yesterday's 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting for Tuesday, April 23rd, is 12814, 12814. And the reference number for this morning, 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting for Wednesday, April 24th, is 12817, 12817. DOA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We're self-supporting through our own contributions, never soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer, our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states that each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Marissa E. to please read the 12 steps.
Good morning. This is Marissa E., recovering compulsive overeater outside Los Angeles. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. Were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me do service. I pass.
Thank you, Marissa E. And I'll now ask Athena B. to please read the 12 traditions.
Good morning, everybody. This is Athena B., a recovered compulsive overeater in Northern California. These are our traditions. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for letting me be of service, and I pass.
Thank you very much, Athena B. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we're discussing, and that you keep your share to about 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your share be directly linked to what was read. We're sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book in the chapter, There's a Solution. We're on page 22, reading and commenting on the third paragraph. And I will ask Penny L.C. to please read that for us.
Thank you, Elaine. Thank you for your service, and good morning. Good morning to everyone on the line. This is Penny L.C., a grateful recovered compulsive overeater from the state of Washington. And this is the Big Book. Perhaps there never will be a full answer to these questions. Opinions vary considerably as to why the alcoholic reacts differently from normal people. We are not sure why. Once a certain point is reached, little can be done for him. We cannot answer the riddle. Reflecting on the paragraph prior to this, there were a lot of questions. It was one paragraph full of questions. Why, what, how, why? And why can't I stop? I remember asking myself that question. But you know, I had the easy answer, the short answer. It was to blame others, blame my family, blame my upbringing, blame what others did to me. That was my easy out. Until I finally took some responsibility to pursue it further. And I received from this book a diagnosis that I had a physical reaction when I ingested certain foods, which followed and involved a mental obsession. So now I have that diagnosis. And the beautiful part is this book gives me a prescription on how to recover from it one day at a time. And when I go back and I again ask why, I just need to accept the will of my higher power and accept that the beautiful part is I know that the solution is simply a spiritual one. When I'm willing to trust and rely and turn my life and my will over to the care of my higher power, that's the answer I need today. That's the answer to my riddle. And grateful for it. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Penny L.C. Who would like to comment on that third paragraph on page 22 today?
Robin Joby.
Oh.
P.I.S.
Hi.
Christina O.
Okay.
On a
and,
B.
Okay.
Christina
Reggie
O.
Okay, so I got Robin Joe B, Christina O, Pia S. Is it Anna B?
Yes.
Or okay. Who else would like to share?
Reggie O.
Reggie O.
Donna.
Deborah P.
Donna and Deborah. And I think that should fill us in. Okay, great. So I've got Robin Joe B, Christina O, Pia S, Anna B, Reggie O, Donna, I didn't catch the initial of your last name, and Deborah P. Please go ahead, Robin Joe, and you'll be followed by Christina. Hi.
Thank you. Thanks, Elaine. This why is such a waste of time. It is as much a waste of time as all the other research and all the diet books and the pay and ways and the everything. It's just it does not matter why, though it haunted me and I had all kinds of excuses and I blamed everybody and it definitely was not my fault. And if it would have been somebody's fault, if it would have been because my mom made me eat, meat, potatoes, and gravy every night for supper, all my life, it still wouldn't have helped anything. And somebody told me years ago in program, I said, I was asking why about something else. It wasn't like, why do I have this? But I asked why about something else. And she said, so your house is on fire and you're inside it. Are you going to sit there and try to figure out why your house is on fire, or are you just going to get out, And so, we just got to get out. We just got to get out of that thinking. And, I did, and just accept. And my very first OA meeting, I learned that, I'm not a bad person. I'm a sick person. And that was I loved that. That was very liberating for me. And, I don't need to get good. I need to get well. And 12 steps and God are helping me with that, and all of you too. So thank you very much, and I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Robin Joe B. Okay, Christina. Oh, you're up next. Did I get that right?
Yes, you got that right. Thank you very much. thank you for your service. I have found the big question why in marquee lights flashing in Times Square, I'm a compulsive overeater, probably can never be answered. And I'm grateful that I am a compulsive overeater, because it's brought me to the 12 steps and working them, and a spiritual way of life. But the little why was really answered for me in reading the doctor's opinion with my sponsor, who was taking me through the steps the first time a year and a half ago. And to come to realize that I had an allergy of the body was like new information for me, and it made perfect sense, and really helped me become abstinent. Now, I haven't been abstinent since that time the whole time. I've had a couple of relapses, and in those relapses, I never went back to my worst allergy food, but I did realize I had a craving for quantity, and ate things that flour products that didn't have any sugar in them, but I just was stuffing them down, and so that phenomenon of craving, I realized was also part of my disease, and I had to attend to that. And so I weigh and measure my food now because I don't know what a balanced portion is for someone of my height and size and wanting to lose weight. So those having that information from the doctor's opinion has really helped me contend with the notion of why me. And the big why me, I leave up to my higher power to show me the blessings of being a compulsive overeater in recovery. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Oh, good to hear, Christina. Thank you. Yeah, I recognize that voice. And Tia S. is up next, followed by Anna B. Please go ahead, Tia.
Thanks, Elaine. Am I being heard?
Yes, we hear you great.
Thank you. Thank you, Elaine, for your service. This is Pia S., recovered compulsive overeater in Florida. And there's a lot of things that I don't know the answer to. I don't know why I was born, or I don't even know, like, why I was born where I was born. And I think for me, I had to have enough experiences with the food. I had to have a lot of humiliating experience with the food. And I finally saw that things needed to change. I needed like a total overhaul. I had to be shattered and put together again. And I found that I could not live in yesterday, and I could not live in the future anymore. So I had to stop asking these whys and start to ask, how. And so today I found that I have to do this now. Now is the word for me. Now I have the book. Now I have the solution. I don't want to waste my life anymore. I'm coming up on a big birthday, and it's just I'm just so happy that I'm able to say that I'm recovered and able to live my life now. I don't want to waste it anymore. I'm living now. Like, this is now we're living. So I want to have the solution now, and I'm just so grateful that I have it and that I can live in the now. So with that, I'll pass. Thanks
so much, Pia S. Anna B., you're up next, followed by Reggie O.
Good morning. When I think of the why, I know it really doesn't matter why, we would still overeat anyway because of the mental obsession. And now with the latest research, they did find out our brains physically does not release a chemical that registers where we're feeling full. But even if we had a pill to correct that, we would still have the mental obsession of the food. We'd still be overeating it. Even if we felt full, we'd push it. So we would still have to be coming to these programs, just like a fellow of mine who was in several other rooms besides OA. And even though there is no craving for the drug, the drugs that she was on years ago, there's no craving for the alcohol, she still has to go to those meetings. Very rarely could she skip a meeting. The only time she did when her husband had passed away, and she did for a few weeks, and then she, you know, when she was able, she went back. But she still didn't go into the drugs. But even so, with all the remission, with even not having the physical and emotional pull towards those things. It didn't make any difference for her. I can only imagine it's not going to make any difference for us. So it's almost asking, like, why are the color of my eyes this particular color? We just, you know, we just got it. It's genetics, you know, but it's still, the solution is the same. We don't have to wait for a pill to come out to make us full or anything like that. It might not even work anyway. The solution is still the same. We do our program, and with that, we get over many relapses, many slips. You know, it seems like this program never ceases to amaze me. When I'm being told that, oh no, you know, you can't come back from this or that or the other, I see people do, and it works. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Anna B. Reggie O., you are up next, followed by Donna. I do not know the initial of your last name. Thank you. Go ahead, Reggie.
Thank you so much, Elaine. Thank you for that laughter. I love the lightness this morning that you bring. And this is Reggie O., gratefully recovered outside Los Angeles. And, you know, I we've been drawn to the common sense, you know, why what has become of the common sense, you know, that he sometimes displayed. And for me, common sense would tell me, of course, you know, why can't I eat like other people? There must be something I can do to eat like other people. And but then I have learned hundreds, if not, you know, thousands of times over the course of my life that I actually can't, you know, in a lot of different ways. I have my own specific ways, you know, alcoholic foods, et cetera. But even if that were the case, you know, it's why would I, given all of the experience I have of being taken out by food and overeating over and over and over again, you know, why is that? And that why is, you know, I think about it, that why takes me right out of the uncommon sense. You know, there's a point in the book where Bill says, you know, and that common sense shall become uncommon sense. And that why takes me right out of any kind of common sense becoming uncommon sense, because I'm still looking for an answer that, you know, and I, you know, what somebody said earlier, they've discovered a gene that says we don't know when the cutoff point is. Okay, so if that's the case, then there's the mental obsession to deal with, you know, and the mental obsession has taken, how many times that has taken me out. It's absolutely amazing with all this evidence behind me that I can't do it. Why one more time, you know, why that? But, you know, that's never been the answer. The answer I have found, the solution, and it is an answer for life, because I can't learn it and then keep it. That's a part of the mental obsession. I can't learn it through going through the book three times and then go out and do my life and not have the mental obsession anymore. That's the part that keeps me bringing me back, because for some reason, even though I grow and even though, you know, I have psychic changes and things are better and et cetera, the mental obsession I have found over time just does not go away. It's always going to be there, and I never know when it's going to show up. It can be in a moment. There can be no stimulating, you know, factor. It just happens, and it's that that takes me out and takes me out of my consciousness, really. So it's but with all this evidence, what, you know, why give up this amazing solution? You know, why give up this amazing solution, community, being involved in life? Like, you know, I get to be involved in life today that I am not when I'm in food. I'm just, you know, kind of like there, but not there. So just great love. And I'm fascinated reading one paragraph at a time and just how we could go on and on with one paragraph. And I'm grateful to be here and for everybody on the line this morning. And I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Reggie. Donna, if you could please give us the first initial of your last name, and you're going to be followed by Deborah P.
Donna G, as in grateful.
Thank you.
Yes, and I'm calling from Pennsylvania, grateful, recovering. I love the word riddle in this reading, really is what prompted me to share. I'm a person who loves trying to figure out riddles. And even though there's angst with it, you know, I feel really good when I've figured out a riddle. And I think about in terms of alcoholism, I think about one of my very early bosses when I was a young professional, like decades ago, was a recovering alcoholic. And he, 25 years in recovery, recovered 25 years. And he actually celebrated his birthday on the day that he got sober. And he would explain that, you know, that's where I recovered my life. So that's my new birthday. And I was very young, and that always baffled me, you know. Ah, he's like celebrating a different birthday. He didn't celebrate the day he was born. He celebrated the day he recovered. And that always baffled me. But I used to ask him a lot of questions about alcoholism, and I couldn't understand, and I couldn't wrap my head around. I remember one of the big questions I had was, I don't understand how a higher power could allow some people to suffer so much and even die of the disease and never get, you know, get help. And how does that happen? And I mean, he was just, when I think back, I mean, now that I understand the 12 steps, he was just so focused on the here and now and so focused on, you know, I'm recovered for today, you know, and that's what's important. And all these answers aren't as important. And now that I am working the 12 steps, I'm becoming to understand a lot. Now, I don't have any answers. I have no more answers, but I'm becoming to understand a lot of how he lived, that boss of mine who I respected and looked up to so much, how he lived and what he meant by what he was saying, a lot of it. But, you know, I still have a lot of riddles, and what I've learned is that it's okay. I'm not going to have the answers. And that's, not only is it okay, it's a good thing, because, you know, I'm not my higher power. I'm not God. You know, I don't have to be in charge. I don't have to know all the answers. And that's a good thing, and that's a relief for me today. And that I know that my higher power is in control and does have it all in his hands. And that, you know, things are secure, and there's no
gentle reminder.
Figuring out riddles. Thank you. No more need for me to figure out riddles. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Donna G. Love that, the day they recovered their life. Oh, great. Okay, before we hear from Deborah P., I want to let you know that we are commenting on the third paragraph on page 22, and there is a solution. Chapter of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. It begins with, perhaps there will never be a full answer. And after Deborah P. shares, we'll open the line for some more shares. So please go ahead, Deborah.
Hi, this is Deborah P., a compulsive overeater in California. Can you hear me?
Yes, thank you.
Okay. Yeah, it's just so great to listen to everyone, and it's such confirmation that, you know, it's kind of like the more we try to figure it out, you know, it's just, it never works. And I can say that it took me a really, really long time to figure, like, I'm the type of person that needs to figure stuff out. I didn't understand the whole allergy of the body thing. I was like, yeah, you know, I just don't really know about that. And I don't know why. But what I found is that when I got a sponsor, and this person was just, you know, they didn't really tell me anything specifically. They were just a person of faith. Like, they just had a strong faith in God. They would very much just be like, hey, you know, just pray about it. Did you pray about it? You know, did you? And I was kind of like, well, that's too simple. But I just did that. I pretty much every situation I ran into, I was just turning things over to God. I was going back to step 1, 2, and 3. And that was working. And doing the steps was working. And so that's what I always go back to. But I thought I would share this one thing that I posted. You know, I have a lot of health issues, and basically if I'm not abstinent, I just become sick. Like, food really is like alcohol to me. I will wake up feeling sick. It will make my stomach sick. And I posted on this one. So I've been doing kind of a raw food thing for my health. And I posted, you know, why do you think that processed sugar will kick in an addiction when fruit, eating a bowl of fruit, doesn't do that? And this one guy wrote, anything that pretends to be a satisfaction will become addictive, because at the end you're not getting what you really need. Whenever you try to fill a void with the wrong thing, it becomes a vicious cycle. Once you try the real thing, the void is filled and the addiction subsides. And I thought of that, not necessarily even with the food, but the food also, but with, you know, when I try to replace God, when I try to replace my fellows in the program, when I try to, you know, put in a substitute for those things, it just doesn't work. You know, things just get worse. So anyways, I just thought I would share that. I thought that was kind of insightful. And I'm just really grateful to be here. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Deborah. I like that too. Okay, who would like to comment on that third paragraph on page 22?
Nicole C.
Nicole C.
Beatrice O.
Fez M.
Beatrice O. Fez M.
Kiara VP.
Kiara VP. Paula D.
Kathleen O.
And Kathleen O. And I think that's all we have time for. So let me make sure I got everything right. Let's see. Nicole C. Beatrice, didn't get your initial of your last name. I believe it was Bev P. Tara VP. Perhaps you can correct me as I go. Paula D. and Kathleen O. And if we stick right to our time, we'll do great. So, Nicole, we'll start off with you. Please go ahead. You'll be followed by Beatrice O.
Thank you. This is Nicole C. in Morgan Hill, California. I'm a compulsive overeater, and I have suffered for a really long time trying to figure out why, and that's not where the solution is. It's not in figuring out why. It never does anything for me. Figuring out why I ate what I ate, figuring out why I couldn't stop, figuring out, you know, why some foods and not others, it never helped me to recover. Trying to figure out why my, you know, creator does this for me but not that for me, figuring out why my higher power is, you know, setting me up to go left instead of right, never does anything for me. It just never gives me anything sufficient to recover. And when I was new, I would ask my sponsor, like, why and why and why and how is this going to work? And just so many questions. I mean, not in a disrespectful way. I was just so baffled. I just didn't know how this was going to work for me. And she said, you know, if you wait to understand why and how before you take these steps into your life, you're going to continue to suffer and you're not going to get this thing. And you'll suffer a fate worse than death, right? Which is to go on in this miserable existence, blotting out your consciousness with the food. And I was willing to go to any lengths. I was like, all right, I'm just going to do it. And what I've learned in the last few years is that when it comes to the food, I don't have the answers. When it comes to eating like a normal person, I don't have the answers. When it comes to eating like a recovered compulsive eater that has any more days than I have today, I don't have the answers. And all I need to do is trust that I'm a monkey and I need to do what the other monkeys are doing in here that are doing it successfully, right? And so my sponsor has something that I want. You know, she's been doing this deal for a long time. She's been happy, joyous, and free for a long time. Her mind doesn't obsess on the food. And sometimes when she suggests things to me, I'm thinking, I don't know why, but I just say, okay, I'll do it. And it's about training my feet to go to a meeting when I don't feel like it, or to dial into a meeting when I don't feel like it, or to pick up the outreach call when I don't feel like it, or to call somebody else when I don't feel like it, because this is a progressive illness, and I better be in the grips of a progressive recovery. which means I'm going to constantly have to do things that are outside of my comfort zone without understanding why, without understanding how they're going to work. I just need to know that, hey, someone before me knows how to do this, and their life is better than mine. So I just need to do what they do. And I want to, thank you, I want to keep getting what I'm getting, so I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing. I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Nicole C. Beatrice O., you're up next, followed by Bev P., and if I've got anybody's initials wrong, please forgive me and correct me. Thank you.
Okay. This is Beatrice O. from Los Gatos, California.
Thank you.
So the question we cannot, or the answer, it says we cannot answer the riddle. You know, little kids always say, why, Mom, why? And so I always wanted to know why when I came into the program years ago. But, you know, I know why. I know that food addiction is a disease. I know that my brain gets hijacked. And I know that I have some structural changes in my brain. And I went through those, it's like going through those double doors in the emergency room when they open up. I crossed that line where I couldn't control my food anymore. And there's a medical answer for this this disease. Why do I have it? There's a lot of reasons why. There's genetics involved, and there's all types of information out there to explain why. And so why am I abstinent? You know, not everybody, why is there evil in this world, and why? And why does a loving God let all this suffering in the world happen? You know, we're supposed to live in utopia. If God was so real, why is everybody suffering? Why did he allow me to suffer as a child? You know, but I came to believe. I had a focus on the solution, not the problem. There wasn't a figure it out anonymous group I could join. And I don't need to know why. I know that my higher power gave humanity free will. And all the destruction in this world and addictions and everything that's happening is man-created. And he's allowed it because we have free will. We have a choice, and my higher power is not a codependent. But I can rest in the belief that my higher power, greatest love and sacrifice, gave me a way out. It gave me a way out of my addiction, and it gave me a way out. And one day I'll be reconciled with my creator. And so with that, I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Beatrice O. Bev, I believe it's P is up next, followed by Tara, and I believe it's VP. You can correct me if I'm wrong.
Hi, yep. This is Des M. I think it might be Des M that you heard.
Oh, yes.
Unless there's a Bev.
It absolutely is Des M. Thank you for your grace. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much. This is Des M. from Long Beach, California, recovered compulsive overeater. Good morning, all, and thank you so much for your service. This is a great little paragraph that kind of sums up where I was when I came into program, you know, always wanting to know why. Like, why do you want me to tell you what I ate? Why do you think it's a good idea that I do things that I don't want to do? Why you know, I knew that the 12 steps worked because I had already worked them in another program, but I still, you know, the little compulsive overeater in me was really concerned with why I needed to do things that I didn't want to do. And luckily, you know, I had loving people around me that were in the program working the steps, you know, and they just gave me suggestions. And I got to do a few things that eventually, like, got me recovered and work these steps. And, you know, today it doesn't really matter why I am a compulsive overeater. Like, I am a compulsive overeater so that I can have the solution. And that's what I'm so grateful for. And, you know, being around these rooms and getting to see other people recover alongside of me and recover and be one among many is just such a great gift. And when I'm in self, I don't get to see that gift, but it's always there, you know. And for me, I just know that when I'm in self, it doesn't always look like I'm in self. But when I have good ideas about, well, I don't want to do the work until I understand why, or, you know, just a million excuses that I can make, then it just creates, you know, a space for me to be disconnected with my higher power. And my higher power, like, is just outside of me, because I know that today, you know, I am not the solution, and I have so many ideas, you know, and the solution is just continuing to get outside of myself and help another. And, you know, now today I get to see the whys in my step 10s and, like, where am I selfish, dishonest, you know, and fearful? Like, where is the why in me? Because the problem always centers inside of me, you know, and the gift of the recovery is outside of me. And by being able to share and, you know, work this program to the best of my ability, I'm just blessed every day if I choose to see it, you know. And luckily, just in this moment, I am seeing gratitude. So thanks so much for letting me share. With that, I pass.
Thank you very much, Des M. And Tara, you're up next. And can you please give us the initials of your last name, please? And I wonder if it might have been Kara. Did I hear a name that I didn't hear? Okie dokie. Let's go right ahead then to Paula D. Unless, is that a Tara coming on the line? Nope. Okay, Paula D followed by Kathleen O. Please go ahead, Paula.
Thank you. Thank you for your service. Paula D, recovering fine with the grace of God. And, you know, as I look at this, perhaps there never will be a full answer. I don't need a full answer. Not anymore. And there was my ability to play God. I need a full answer like God has. I don't. Is partial answer enough? Oh, more than enough. Without the clarity of abstinence and studying the big book and many others that are brought to light, I wouldn't have that. There is a solution, and there is an answer for me and for others. And I love what it says here. And it really, it says, why does he behave like this? You know, I'm going to just bounce back just for a bit. I mean, I've done that in life oftentimes, haven't I, though? And but that part there, why does he behave like this? And then it says in the first sentence of the next paragraph before that, this is by no means a comprehensive picture of the true alcoholic. Now, this is where I want to circle. As our behavior patterns vary.
Paula, we're not hearing you. Paula D? May have accidentally got cut off somehow, Paula. So, Kathleen, no, I'd like you, if you can, to come on, and we'll see if Paula D is back at that time, okay? Because I don't hear her responding. Okay, Kathleen?
Okay, sure. Thank you, Elaine.
You.
Good morning. Thanks for
hey,
your
shut the fuck up, ma'am. Slow down. Shut up.
Okay,
please go ahead, Kathleen.
Thanks, Elaine. This is Kathleen O, recovered in California. And
Yes,
we
cannot
answer the,
fuck you, Kathy.
We cannot answer the riddle. And the, you know, yeah, it's the riddle. It's like one of the mysteries of life, right? And, you know, why? I spent decades trying to figure out why, and it was really a waste of time because, you know, yeah, you can come up with all sorts of answers or non-answers, or, but really we don't know why. I mean, my biggest answer to this is just the way I'm genetically put together. But, you know, why am I triggered by the allergy of the body, the obsession of the mind? And I remember my first answer to the why was, well, it must have been because my mother nursed me. She didn't breastfeed me. That's why I'm a compulsive overeater. I mean, really. So the main thing was, you know, it was like, why is a compulsive overeater, why does one bite trigger a compulsive overeater and then we're off and running again? You know, why aren't we satisfied with one slice of pie or, you know, why wasn't I satisfied with one small bag of popcorn at the movies like my normal friends were? Well, because I'm not normal when it comes to eating. You know, I had to have the biggest size popcorn and then I would go back for refills and it still wasn't enough. So the bottom line was I had to stop focusing on the problem because it really was a waste of time. And the solution is what I needed to focus on, and focusing on the solution turned my life around. You know, the solution brings me peace and harmony in my life and brings me peace and harmony in relationships, my day-to-day relationships with people. And the solution also brings peace and harmony around the food. And so with that, I pass. And thank you, Elaine.
Thank you, Kathleen O. Paula D., are you back on the line? We lost you.
I think so.
Oh, wonderful. Why don't you just start right over again, okay? Please,
well, now
Paula?
We can. Now I definitely am back on the line, and I know, so now. Thank you.
Wonderful.
Sometimes
thanks.
We do get the answer to the riddle. I have no idea what happened, by the way. But, yes, Paula D., still recovering by and with the grace of God. I'm not quite sure what or if anything was heard. And maybe it wasn't supposed to be. I don't know. But I will come here. Perhaps there never will be a full answer to these questions. What if you don't need a full answer? Maybe I don't need a full answer. I believe only God knows the full answer. So what if I have to accept a partial answer? I'm all right with that. That's the answer to the solution. Can you accept this? Can you take that first step and surrender that you don't have to know all? First step. Wow, you're really progressing, Paula. You bet I am. You bet I am, to surrender my ego. And it says, it goes on here, we cannot answer the riddle, so I'm joined by others. That's why I'm here, because I'm joined by others. And it said in a couple of paragraphs in front of this, it said something, and I just thought it was true. This is by no means a comprehensive picture of the true alcoholic, as our behavior patterns vary. Yes, every fingerprint is different, every thought pattern, but somehow we're united in a way. I'm all right with that. I'm all right with that, because this comes to the places there is a solution. Once a surrender is done, you can stop wondering, oh, it must have been this, oh, that's what it was. Even that changes. Because my thoughts are always changing. They're like the clouds in the sky. They never stay in the same place. They keep on moving. But this part, we cannot answer the riddle. I don't have to anymore. Not for you or for me. Because oftentimes, especially as a sponsor, well, I don't know what. Me neither. Grace is what I live under today. And grace is living with things as they are. The questions are put aside. And as was spoken so beautifully, the solution becomes apparent. Thank you for allowing me this time. And with that, I do pass.
Thank you very, very much, Paula D. And thank you to everybody who shared today. What a fabulous meeting. We'll now transition the meeting by reading from the big book on page 164. And I will ask Robin P. to please read A Vision for You.
Hi, this is Robin P. I hope I can be heard. There's some guys who are out there with their blowers, so I apologize about that.
We hear you just fine, Robin. Thank you.
Oh, thank you. This is Robin P. I'm a very grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater in Vero Beach, Florida. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who's still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.